The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Eric Metaxas Show. Ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you by the maker of Pinocchio, the puppet who becomes a boy, and who has recently transitioned to a girl, and then more recently back to a wooden puppet who goes by the pronouns it, puppet, and dummy.
I'm not a puppet. I'm a real boy.
Oh, and the maker of the puppet who was once called Pinocchio is, of course, Geppetto. But now he goes by his new hip tabloid name, G-Pet. Ha! You can't make this stuff up. Anyway, here's Eric.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. We're going to be talking about No Safe Spaces. I have seen it. Free speech is so important to me that when I saw it, I thought this is very entertaining as a film, but it's also really important. So I'd like to harp on, why we need to see it. So it's going to be entertaining when you go to see it. Maybe you've already seen it. You already know what I'm talking about. Anybody who does want to see it, you can use a code SAVE25. SAVE25, nosafespaces.com. I was saying just a moment ago that free speech and comedy are just, you know, hugely important to me. So I was asked to host this. I'm a host on Salem Radio. Weekdays, my friend Dennis Prager also has some kind of a show. It's not much to write home about, but technically it's a show. So he's going to be talking. He's one of the stars of No Safe Spaces. Adam Carolla has something that I think they call it a podcast. I'm not sure what that is, but the kids, they go crazy for podcasts. So Adam Carolla's going to be here. We have another comedian who is going to be coming in. I can't tell you who it is. I'm supposed to embargo that. But I could, you know what, I'll tell you, I could tell you up front, it's not Milton Berle, because I know a lot of you were hoping Uncle Milty would make an appearance because it's kind of live TV and stuff. But we couldn't get him. He's been dead for, gosh, over a decade. But we tried. I'll be honest with you. We tried. So I'm going to see if I can bring in my friends Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. I'm not sure what I need to do to bring them in. There's somebody directing this. Oh, my goodness. Look at them. Oh, my gosh. I don't like Jewish people, Dennis. I just want to say that up front. And Adam, we've never talked before, but I just have a sense that you don't like Jewish people either. Can we start there, please?
No. You are really in bad shape because you are now stuck with a Jew and an atheist.
I love it. But you know what? You don't believe it. Let me tell you something, Prager, okay? You don't believe in the God I believe in. So don't give me this like we're on the same team, all right? I don't know who you worship or what you worship, but it's you're closer to Carolla than you are to me, all right? Let's get down to business. Adam, you're a comedian. I want to say that up front so people know when you say weird stuff, it's meant to be perhaps funny. Dennis, you are not a comedian, but you say funny stuff all the time. But what brought you together, the Jew and the atheist, the Italian and the Jew, what brought you together was your love for liberty, and you made this film, No Safe Spaces. So let me just ask you both, and don't leap in, but why did you decide to do this film? I mean, anybody could have done this film. How did the two of you get together? Adam, why don't you say something?
Well, I'd always been a fan of Dennis. I grew up in Los Angeles. I always listened to talk radio. I used to listen to Religion on the Line, probably the only atheist listener.
Right.
The entire L.A. metro area. I can see
it had a big impact on your life. God bless those guys.
I did get into Santeria for a while. So, you know, he did pull me toward a type of religion for a while. But eventually I drifted back into through agnostic and into atheist. I was always a fan of Dennis. Dennis never had any idea who I was, which I always tell him I'm happy about. And at a certain point, we got a chance to get together and do some speaking engagements and travel around. And we both enjoyed each other's company so much. And we're sort of finishing each other's sentences up on stage. And we were
both admitting. It's like an old gay couple. That's cute.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I love it. So you know, Donald had an impact on your life.
I don't need to speak between me and Eric. No, I'm not. This is the truth. I am having so much fun listening to you two. I feel like a sort of a third wheel or a fifth wheel.
Yeah.
But a third if it was on
a moped.
Yeah.
Dennis, I'm fascinated. Now, look, Adam, the idea that Dennis has had this huge impact on your life, and yet obviously you're still an atheist. So what impact could he possibly have had? Let's get down to it.
Well, you know, if you want a serious answer, all the things he talks about from the Bible and the Ten Commandments and the Old New Testament are all things, all good ways to, all good templates to build a life, to construct a life. So you can follow everything on the Ten Commandments and not believe anything about the tablets, but all about the execution.
Right.
For me, why not just execute the Bible, execute the Ten Commandments, execute religion without the actual opening up your heart and letting Jesus inside?
I have much more in common values-wise with this. I think he's an agnostic more than an atheist, but I'll grant atheist. It doesn't matter to me, really. I have much more in common values-wise with him than I do with a left-wing Christian or a left-wing Jew. So it shows you that it's to me, it's all about values, and we have them in common.
When I saw that film, nosafespaces.com, if people want to go there just to get away from us, but nosafespaces.com, you can see the film. But when I saw the film, I was entertained, but I also thought, this is so important right now. I want to tell everyone I know, you must see this. I want to tell everyone I know, you must force your kids to see this. You know, I don't want the government to force me, but I think parents should force their kids or something, because it is important. And I know both of you think it's important. Adam, I know you much less well than I know Dennis. When did this become an issue for you, the concept of, you know, free speech?
Now, I'm a comedian. I've always spoke for a living. I did syndicated radio for many years as well. So, you know, speech is kind of my bread and butter. And I started hearing about some of my fellow comedians not being able to speak on college campuses and other folks, other voices. And I thought, of all places, you know, college campuses, of all places, a place you couldn't speak.
When did that start? I guess my question is, and I'm sorry for the noise, I do live in New York. Those are real sirens, by the way. The question is, when did it begin? Like, what year roughly, or what years did this happen that you started getting blowback like this? Because obviously, 30 years ago, this was not a problem.
It's kind of a situation like saying, you know, what year did your house get black mold? I don't know. We had a water leak in 1989, and then I started hacking up brown stuff in 2001. But I guess it's just been kind of slowly growing while we've been sleeping.
I've noticed. Go ahead.
He's absolutely right. I was at Columbia University in your city in the 70s in graduate school. And while they didn't kick out alternate speakers like they now do, the monolithic ideology was as dominant in the 1970s at Columbia as it is today. The only difference is it is now clear to the world that even alternate ideas are not permitted by visiting speakers. Heather McDonald will be screamed off the campus. I mean, the woman is an amazing intellect. She's calm in her delivery, scholarly, and she can't. Ben Shapiro needed $600,000 in security at Berkeley. $600,000 for a yarmulke wearing Orthodox Jewish young guy to offer his ideas about life. I mean, it's frightening. It is truly frightening.
Listen,
he's right, though. It's been percolating for decades.
Well, I guess my thing is that only a few years ago did we notice mainstream comedians starting to complain, like Jerry Seinfeld starting to complain, Dave Chappelle giving pushback. I just find it fascinating that we're at a point where what we would consider mainstream popular comedians can't say the stuff they used to say.
Well, you know, it's called, yeah, I always tell everyone it's called a progressive movement. You know, it doesn't stop. It's got the word progress and movement right in the title. It keeps going. So it starts off, you know, it's no different than PETA. PETA starts off saying, like, well, do you think we should be able to experiment on horses for cosmetic lines? And you go, no, I don't agree with that. And it starts off with, you know, we shouldn't let the Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard speak on it. And you go, yeah, okay, yeah, that sounds reasonable. But it doesn't stop. It just keeps going. And now if you kill a cockroach, it's your Hitler. And if you want to go on campus and you're Ben Shapiro, they need a safe space.
I can't lie. No more of your darkness. All my pictures seem to fade to black and white.
You guys are both way more thoughtful than I realized. I wrote you both off years ago. I apologize. Listen, speaking of thoughtful, Dave Chappelle, he couldn't be with us in person because we don't have his contact information. But we have a clip where Dave Chappelle is talking about some of the stuff that we're talking about. Let me see if we can play that clip right now.
Stand-up comedy is an incredibly American genre. I don't think any other country could produce this many comedians. And unbeknownst to many people in this audience, I don't think there's opinion that it exists in this country that is not represented in a comedy club by somebody. Each and every one of you has a champion in the room. We watch you guys fight, but when we're together, we talk it out. I know comics that are very racist, and I watch them on stage, and everyone's laughing, and I'm like, that motherfucker means that. Don't get mad at them. Don't hate them. We go upstairs and have a beer, and sometimes I even appreciate the artistry that they paint their racist opinions with. Man, it's not that serious. The First Amendment is first for a reason. The Second Amendment, it's just in case the first one doesn't work out.
This is, we're talking about No Safe Spaces. We're talking about free speech. That, of course, was Dave Chappelle, whom I referenced earlier. I want to ask Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager if they would come back and join the conversation. Are you both aware that there's a No Safe Spaces book? Somebody wanted me to mention that. Is there a book that goes with the film?
But the film and the book are terrific. I'm not saying this because we're in it. I wouldn't be as enthused about it. The truth is, I didn't expect it to be as excellent as it is. I give the credit to the directors and writers, these guys and producers. I remember in all of the scenes that we did, and I never said this to you, but I kept thinking, but how are they going to make a really narrative movie out of this? Why will it just be a series of scenes?
Mm-hmm.
But they made a movie.
Yeah.
It's a riveting, gripping movie.
It's riveting and gripping. That's correct.
The book is also terrific. So I salute the folks who made it. NoSafeSpaces.com. I just let everybody know that's the place to go for it. Show it to your kids. That's really important.
That's what I say. Show it to your kids so that they don't. I mean, you have to inoculate your kids to what is happening before they go out there in the world. And I really feel that this film, again, when I saw the film, I said everybody should drag their kids, at the youth group, at the synagogue or whatever, at the atheist group. Did you have groups as a kid, Adam, like a little atheist groups to indoctrinate you and how life has no meaning?
Yes.
Our place of worship was called Wet and Wild. It was a water park outside of San Dimas, and that's where the atheists went to worship.
Well,
it's a good point. And I was thinking about like what's going on these college campuses and how it's going this direction. And I was sort of giving it some thought, and I thought well, it's a little bastion of socialism. And right. I don't mean socialism like, you know, calling people communists and wanting to out them. But I just mean if you were attracted to doing commercial real estate, that's one kind of wiring. And if you're attracted to doing, you know, building trestle bridges, that's one kind of wiring. And if you're attracted to being paid, getting tenure, total security, you're being taken care of. Now, there's not the highs and there's not the lows. You're probably not going to be out of work. You're probably not going to get rich. It's as close as this country has to socialism. It's a nice, warm kind of basic life. That the life of a school teacher, even at fifth grade, seventh grade, 10th grade, or a professor. But you get tenure, you get long summer vacations. It's our little sort of slice of socialism. And again, I'm not really saying that in a pejorative way. I'm just saying if you are a person who's sort of attracted to that life, then it pulls you in. Well, once you enter that world and then surround yourself with more people who are like-minded, then when young minds enter that space, well, of course, you're supposed to be teaching history or engineering or science or social science or whatever it is. But some of your stuff starts bleeding through. And the way I describe it is, what if everyone on college campus, what if all the faculty and administrators, what if they're all vegan? How long before your kid came home for Thanksgiving and said meat is murder when you were cutting the ham? Now, it wouldn't mean that he was taking
ham. Are you trying to trigger the Jew? Is that your game, Corolla? He had to say ham just to poke you.
I want you folks watching to know that I knew he would make a crack about that ham.
Yeah.
As you are breathing right now in a mask.
And I knew you would use the word excoriate earlier. You could have used any word. You had to go to excoriate. Also, you had to say raison d'etre, you know, to show off that you know a little French. It's very pretentious. And that's why I never liked you, and you have no talent. I don't know how you got
it. It is definitely not worth befriending him.
No.
It was one of the errors of my life.
Well, let me tell you something.
I didn't say raison d'etre. You're full of baloney.
You did say raison d'etre. Hey, we had a tape. You
rolled it.
And I rolled it too?
Yeah, do it.
We have a tape.
Raison d'etre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
And you used another word, which when it comes to me.
You didn't say that?
No, they just wanted to know what I could do for them.
Now, okay, listen, I think we have another clip that we're going to play, kind of a comedy roundtable with Tim Allen. Remember Tim Allen, the comedian?
Yeah.
I think he's in this clip. Let's run that clip.
You know what microaggressions are? It's the latest liberal attack at free speech. And a lot of fun if you do them right.
The university has a list of stuff they don't allow speakers to say, you know, to protect the students.
From what, ideas?
Allen is responding to the show's unexpected cancellation. Some say the show was axed because of its portrayal of conservative Christian values.
If it was a bomb, you could understand, but the sitcom was ABC's second highest rated comedy this season.
Isn't it spooky that we're having this discussion?
Yes. But we have to have it.
I understand. It's just kind of spooky that it's even a thing that you're even thinking about, that we have to be modulated. And I'm a little worried about it, a little alarmed about things I cannot say. I do it anyway, because the thing I've always loved about this is it's people, money, and me. There's no middleman in this. Essentially, I'm running the show at that moment. But it is weird that I'm thinking a little bit.
We as comedians, the whole point of what we're doing on stage with our words is to make a point about the absurdities of life. Like, right. I have a joke about, you know, being comfortable with my size. You know, I say it depends on where I am geographically. And if I'm in New York, I'm pleasantly plump. If I'm in L.A., I'm a beach whale. I say if I'm in the Midwest, I'm anorexic, and it's awesome.
Right.
And then I've had someone come up to me after a show and be like, you know, I was bulimic in high school. And
right.
I'm like, okay, calm down. That wasn't about you, first of all. It was a joke, and that's what I'm up here to do.
Hey there, welcome back. That comedian who was just talking, that lovely young woman, is Kareth Foster, and I was hoping that we could get her to be a part of this. And son of a gun, people normally, when I make suggestions, they just blow it off. Kareth Foster, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Can I just say how impressed I am that all of you are wearing pants right now?
Yeah.
You don't have to be.
You could say that, Kareth. You could say that. Now, how did you get to be a part of that roundtable, and how do you know Carolla?
Well, I know Adam through the movie. I've been a fan of his for forever. But not that you're that old, Adam. But yeah. Black Note.
Earlier, I was involved as one of the members of an old gay couple. So
beautiful, beautiful.
I'm passive. Which would make you the rich. By the way, if we were an old gay couple, you'd definitely be the rich one.
You could get away with that in most comedy clubs at this point, right? Now that gay marriage is like a thing, you can kind of joke about that. But before, you couldn't. I think that's true. I don't know. Kareth, what do you normally joke
about? I would say now people might get upset about it because, oh, he's not really gay, so he's making fun of that. You know, I'm from the side of wanting people to just be able to have a sense of humor. You know, I want to be able to get on stage, say what I want to say. People understand that it's a joke. Understand that, like I said, the point of humor is to point out all of the crazy, obnoxious, weird things that happen in society. And what's happening on college campuses, what I experienced as, you know, going in as a speaker to talk about humor was an auditorium full of people there to shout me down. Now, fortunately, I knew how to handle it because I do have humor in my back pocket. But I also was just like, hey, guys, you know, you're spending a lot of money for this and you could actually maybe get something out of it. So you can stay or you can leave. The choice is yours. But I think we're asking people to act like adults without teaching them how to think like adults.
Did you just come up with that, or is that a line that you use? Because that's very good.
No, I was thinking about it while I was listening to, you know, to Adam and Dennis talk. Like that's part of the problem. We're asking so much of people that don't have the skills. We haven't imparted that on them.
Christian bestselling author and speaker Richard E. Simmons does not shy away from the big questions of life. His latest book is called Reflections on the Existence of God, and it tackles the biggest question of all, does God exist? I've read this book, and I got to tell you, I'm a little biased, but you can imagine that I like it a lot because Simmons offers insights for those grappling with life's biggest questions. Where do we find meaning in life? Who determines what is evil? Can we be moral without God? Does God even exist? Former White House aide Wallace Henley says, I've taught apologetics for many years and I've read every scholar mentioned in this book. Of all the books on apologetics, Simmons is the best I have ever read. This book is easy to read because it's divided into a series of brief essays, perfect for a devotional or discussion with a friend. I highly recommend that you add a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God to your pandemic reading list. Simmons asks questions that speak directly to one of the most important things you possess, your worldview. Folks, you know how important this is to me. Your worldview is going to impact the way you live your life for better or for worse. If you want to challenge yourself to spiritual and intellectual growth, and I hope you do, then be willing to ask yourself life's toughest questions. Dive in today by picking up a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God right now. Go to existenceofgodbook.com. That's existenceofgodbook.com.
Welcome back. Kareth Foster, when you were telling those like the fat jokes and the anorexia, I was chubby in junior high school, and I got choked up. You hurt my feelings. And I know Dennis got choked up. He's a little tougher than I am, but it's just inappropriate. And for the rest of this hour, Kareth, please, okay, no fat jokes. So Dennis and Adam, can you make the link, probably Adam has to do this, between comedy and free speech? I mean, do we have to go to Lenny Bruce or whatever? Like, what happened? Where did we go wrong? Where did the comedians being the truth tellers suddenly, you know, become unable to tell truth? I mean, because comedians were the vanguard of truth telling in this culture, let's say in the 60s.
Well, I think where we went wrong is we started looking for things that went wrong, and you're always going to find it. So somehow we lost all context, but we didn't lose context. We threw it away. We now listen to everything like a lawyer reading a transcript, an affidavit or the transcript of someone who's being cross-examined. obviously you can find it in every interaction. The interactions that you and Dennis have had in the last 40 minutes, if I read that in the form of a transcript, it would be a hate crime if I was looking for it. So it's all
that's what I was going for.
And if it's and once you lose context, but you're motivated to shut someone down or find something, then we've lost our way. Because that's why every single person, even comedians, but certainly people who speak for a living, before they say anything, they say, well, okay, the coronavirus, here's my thought on reopening the city. And then they pause and they go, I understand many people have died. That's a tragedy. And I understand I have elderly parents as well. I love them dearly. I understand that you love your parents. I understand firsthand the tragedy. It's like, just shut up and talk. And the reason everyone does that, when they go like, let me tell you, I have some thoughts. Let me talk about the black community. That being said, I used to play Pop Warner football with many black men. And I enjoyed their company immensely. And I have many African-American friends who are close to me. Now, here's a critique. All right. Why are we prefacing everything we say? You don't think I could have a take on the coronavirus? I have to do a preamble about not liking carnage and death?
Right.
That's what it calls everyone to do.
You know, what the left has done, this is so, to me, this is extremely important. I truly believe that the left does not regard minorities as fully human. I think that all of the charges of projection, of racism on the conservatives is projection. And, I mean, the fact that they would always argue for lowering standards for blacks, I can't think of a more insulting thing than to say, oh, we have to lower standards to get blacks into college or medical school or law school or whatever. That, to me, is contempt. But what they have done is they have made it the very fact that you could rib me with regard to being a Jew shows that we are equals. That's the irony. Ribbing means equal, means I fully acknowledge you as a human. It's when you are afraid to rib that you don't think that the other person is your equal. So that is what has happened. What has happened, you know what scene people, I'm always amazed by this, when people have commented, at least on scenes that I am in the movie, the one that they most comment on is me talking to these black students at a black college in Georgia. And what amazes people is, you know, you said exactly what you think. And of course I did, because they're my equals. I don't
talk
differently than to whites. But it shocks people that I was totally open about what I believe talking to black students.
Excuse me for interrupting your inane rant, but I just want to bring something up quickly. If anybody wants to comment, if you're watching on Facebook, you can comment and we can read your comments. So now that we're all here. And, you know, Dennis, it's true, though, because I regard you as an equal. I say that publicly. And yet I do look down on you. And that's the difference. One of my favorite comedians is Don Rickles. And of course, Kareth is way too young to remember Rickles. Maybe Carolla probably even met Rickles, but he was the gold standard. Am I wrong?
You're right. And I think somebody commented the other day, boy, if you put what he said on a transcript,
there's no way.
Be exhumed, tried, hung, and put back into the grave.
There's no way.
Everybody to know. Oh, did you want to speak?
Well, I was just going to say that I couldn't, you know, I agree with you. I love that conversation you had with the students at Clark in Atlanta, because you were coming to them as an equal. And that was how the conversation was supposed to go. Right. And I think we often strip people of their not only their dignity, but their humanity. When we say, listen, because you're in this group, we're going to make concessions because of you just come from this group versus who you are as a person or your skills or abilities. That's just that's a crime.
That's right.
Gareth, you find that when you you're able to joke about racial things because you're black. I mean, that kind of goes with the territory, right? Like it's normal if you grew up as a Jew or a Greek or that you make fun of that kind of thing.
But sure.
Rickles was able to just, you know, say horrible things about everybody. And it was brilliant always.
I make fun of the fact that I grew up in a place where there were not a lot of black people. So in a lot of circles, I wasn't considered black enough. And that's kind of been my play, you know, Oreo, you know, all those put downs. I don't sound black. What does that mean? You know, because I enunciate, because I finish my sentences, because I know who my father is. What? I'm not black enough? Like, what does that mean?
Somebody was putting in a comment. I should read the comment. Tammy Maxwell Robbie says, the old Dean Martin roasts were the greatest comedy ever. I bought those VHS tapes. That is how much I love the Dean Martin roasts. And on those roasts, they would always have Don Rickles. But then Don Rickles would say things about Nipsey Russell and Slappy White and Flip Wilson that were unbelievably funny. And they would laugh and everybody would laugh. And it's obvious that it was kind of a more normal time. I mean, I guess, let me ask you, Dennis.
Red Fox, too, you know?
What's that?
Red Fox. I was going to say, he kind of did it on the flip side as well. And there are things he couldn't say now.
Not only were they saying things that you couldn't get away with in today's world, but they were all smoking, which is another, another interesting aspect of that.
Actually, when I watch the old quiz shows,
and
they're all smoking, and I'm thinking that was just a freer period. And of course, you're trained to believe, look, they're killing each other. And I'm just thinking it was a freer world. Now, I don't like cigarette smoke, but I love freedom.
There's an old diner. There's an old restaurant out in this area. It's a breakfast place called Good Neighbors. And I'll give them a plug, even though they've got plywood over the doors for the next 6 months. But when the quarantine lifts. But if you go in there, you see all the black and white pictures of all the old starlets and movie stars, and they're all holding the cigarette. And if you look at the wall, you realize, wait a minute, 86% of people couldn't have smoked. They were taking a photograph, and someone lit a cigarette and handed it to them. You know, everyone but Jackie Coogan was smoking. And you think, they did it for affect, to look cool, to add whatever, a flavor to them. All right. Now, if you want to smoke, you have to go outside and hide behind a dumpster to smoke. So think what we've done just with smoking. I've said this, but I mean it. Currently in this country in 2020, we look down more upon a smoker than we do a deadbeat dad. Someone who physically doesn't have contact or take care of their kids spiritually or financially would not get the slings and arrows that a smoker, if that person smoked in front of their kid. Am I right?
Well, not only that, even many of my conservative listeners have disagreed with me for years. I have said, and I will publicly say it again, I have two sons, they're grown up now, of course, but when they were kids, when they were teenagers, I would much rather have them smoke a cigarette than smoke a joint. And the number of callers, there is nothing I can say that is as controversial to most of my listeners as that comment, that I rather have my kids smoke cigarettes, let alone cigars, obviously, which I smoke, but cigarettes, than smoke a joint, because I care much more about their growing brain than I care over the possibility that 50 years from now, they will contract lung cancer, at which point we will have a cure for it anyway. So, and yet it doesn't matter. Even though marijuana to me is more of a moral issue and cigarettes is only a health issue.
I'm sorry, what? just kidding.
Hold on. I want all your viewers to know. I'll tell you why he's annoyed with me. We were invited to Vice President Pence's home, private
this
home.
For true. True just, story.
Just
this true, true story.
Yes, a true story. Just five of us, my wife and I, another wonderful couple, and Eric and his wife, who decided.
No, Suzanne couldn't come because I was sure we'd be invited every year until you and I offended the second couple, and we're never going to be back.
So at the beginning of dinner, I looked at Vice President Pence, who is not known as a joker.
You're kidding.
One might say, he's not a knee slapper. And I said, Mr. Vice President, it's an honor to be here tonight. However, I just can't understand, why did you invite Eric Metaxas? And that is how the evening began. It's so offended, Eric, that I am not hearing the end of it through now.
You know what? You've made me so angry that I'm going to tell everybody who's watching right now, I know for a fact you're wearing a catheter right now. Okay, let's move on. You disgust me. Look, we're supposed to be promoting a film, so let's bring it back. NoSafeSpaces.com, NoSafeSpaces.com. If you use the code SAVE25, can you guess what's going to happen? Can you guess? You're going to save 25%. So that's 25%. That means that, you know, if you buy four tickets, you get the idea. So NoSafeSpaces.com, save 25. And look, Dennis, you and I, we do radio every day. And I know that Carolla's got some big podcast that he was going to invite me on at some point, I know. So we're doing media every day. So when you make a living talking, you think about what you can say and what you can't say. So do you guys ever edit yourself? Like, where is that line for you guys? And then I want Kara to say where that is for her.
I don't do much editing, but I do my own podcast, and I think people are used to hearing me in an unedited fashion. And there is a kind of a point to this where, back to your aforementioned Don Rickles. Don Rickles was Don Rickles. He became Don Rickles. And if you ran into Don Rickles, you asked him to insult you at a certain point. So you can kind of become that person. And it's interesting. I talk about a joint. Snoop Dogg, he's a rapper.
I know.
Rap, oh, is he?
Form of
he's a rapper?
Sort of talk. Okay, we'll get to that later. Yeah, okay.
He's a rapper. Dennis, did you get that, Dennis? He's a rapper.
Y'all are so mean to Dennis.
You got to speak slowly. Dennis says he's getting up there. So go ahead. He's a rapper.
If he doesn't pull out a joint and light it up, you're almost disappointed. So it's like, once you make something kind of part of your genre, then it's okay. So people think I say insane, offensive, provocative things all day. And so I have permission to do it.
Yeah.
If Dennis started saying what much of the things I say, then there'd be
area coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes down, coming for to carry me home. But I know heavenly bound, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, swing low, sweet.
I feel the cool.
There was a time when there were comedians absolutely breaking the bounds of what you could say and not say. And the left always considered them to be heroes. Lenny Bruce is always mentioned, obviously Richard Pryor, always mentioned. And something happened where the left, even though they still consider them heroes, what they did and what they stood for, if anyone else does it, now they're against it. I mean, do you talk about this on your so-called podcast?
We just call it a podcast, although my dad calls it a podcart. You know, it's obviously, look, we're living in strange times. The right is wants to investigate the FBI, and the left says, leave them alone. There's nothing to see there. I mean, that's all craziness that is about five minutes old. We flipped the script. The thing that I think is disappointing and sort of insidious combined, as I was thinking about Dennis talking about PragerU and the Ten Commandments and stuff like that. And I really think it's kind of at the crux of what we're speaking about and what we need to fix in this country, which is in the past, you would say, well, I'm an atheist or I'm agnostic or I'm born again or whatever I am. And I don't appreciate many of Dennis's views and many of his choices. And I'm not a fan of the man. But he came out with an innocuous video about the Ten Commandments, and that it's not a hill I'm going to die on. So be it. Now, and I found, and I think you've all kind of found this, people pick a side, and then they pick a side, and it's the opposite of Dennis's side. You go, well, what about them banning these videos? These are G-rated videos. These are family-oriented videos. They go, well, some of that stuff can kind of be a little edgy. And he did, like, this is the insidious part of this whole thing, that there's a large group of people. There's always going to be the politicians on the left and the right. There's always going to be the groups with the agenda. It's that big middle group that is somehow magically siding with whatever side they've decided to hitch their wagons to. And that's the scary part. Every person in this country should go, Ten Commandments video, next. Give us a problem. That's 100% fine.
Well, that's why I think the more outspoken all of us are, the easier it gets for others to be outspoken. In other words, these are only norms if we accept them. And, I say half the things I say, you know, on purpose to push people to think, can I say that? Let me just say before we go, we're gonna have to close. But the three of us, I'm sorry, the three of you and I, we should see if we can get college campuses to invite us on to talk about this and take questions. I mean, we've got it all. We've got a black woman. We've got a Jew. We've got an atheist. We have a born again Jesus freak. I mean, what's not to love? Am I right?
I'm in as long as we're not favored nations.
As long as what?
We're not favored nations.
I don't get that. What?
Actually, the fact that you don't get that reference is all the reason I need not to be favored nations. When you do a TV show and you partner up with a partner, they'll go favored nations, and that means they split the money. But in a situation where someone has so much TV experience that he knows the phrase favored nations, who is such a newbie that he doesn't, will obviously be foolish for us to whack this up in quarters.
We're just about out of time, but really this has been fun. I wish we could continue to do it. I hope, you know, maybe we'll get some Twitter followers out of this or something. Kareth, I don't know, you know?
You never know.
The pay is not that sweet, but we're doing this for a good cause. We believe in no safe spaces.
Yes.
And I want my friend Dennis Prager and my new friend Adam Carolla, what you guys put together in this film, people need to know about it. It's just fantastic. That's why I said I would do this tonight, because I just want everybody to know, not only should you see it, but you should get people to see it. You have to go to nosafespaces.com and you have to use the code SAVE25. And you know what? As we say goodbye, why don't we give a little sneak peek of the film? So I'm going to say goodbye to all of you. God bless you. And we should do this again. Thank you so much.